As I watched the morning news today, I was impressed by the amount of time that was invested in the terrible flooding in the southeast and the terrible fires and heat on the west coast of our nation, and the record-breaking events. Looking at it from someone who's interested in what God's doing, it looks like God's trying to get our attention here and encourage us to repent and change our ways. And reading in Isaiah this morning, it is really clear that God will do that with his children. And I'm thinking that we need to seriously consider repentance. I wrote this message for July of 31 of 2022, titled it The Seven Bowls of God's Wrath. And we are in Revelations chapter 16, and we will start at verse 7 and read to 16 if you want to open your Bibles. My outline is simple. The fourth angel, second, the fifth angel, third, the sixth angel, and fourth, the three impure spirits. Here's my introduction. We know that these people realize that these judgments come from God because they curse him for sending them. So they clearly understand that these things are coming from God. And rather than repent, they get ticked and curse God. They still refuse to recognize God's authority and repent for their sins. Christians should not be surprised at all at the hostility and the hardness of the heart of unbelievers. Even when the power of God is fully and completely revealed, many will still refuse to repent. Remember Moses in Egypt and the 10 plagues, and the hard-heartedness of the people in Egypt? They would ask Moses to take the plagues away for their own convenience, but would not consider softening their hard hearts and turning to God. And I think there's a direct correlation between what's going on here in Revelations and what took place back in Genesis in Egypt. Here's my encouragement. Don't wait until just the right time before returning to God. Do it while you still have a chance. That's my encouragement. Don't wait for the perfect time to speak truth to someone. Don't let another day go by that you don't seek forgiveness from others. Don't stop listening to God. If you continually ignore God's warnings, you will eventually be able to hear him at all. That's kind of hard to fathom, but if you refuse to do what he's asking long enough, he just turns his back. That's a terrible thought. Here is our text for today. I chose the NIV Bible of Revelations chapter 16. And it goes like this. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, its kingdom, and plunged it into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. But they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the river Euphrates. Its water was dried up to prepare a way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle, the great battle on the day of God Almighty. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, remains clothed, so as not to go naked and shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together at the place in the Hebrew that is called Armageddon. The end. So, point one, the fourth angel. The sun that normally provides warmth and light and energy will become a deadly killer. A on your outline. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. The sun is the last of the four major regions of the universe to be affected by the bowls. With no fresh water to drink, Earth's inhabitants will face extreme heat. The scorching heat will melt the polar caps, which some estimate could cause the oceans to rise 200 feet, destroying many of the world's major cities. So I looked at the floods down in Tennessee and Kentucky this morning and a terrible devastation of that. And that was only 10 inches of rain. But if you melt down the polar ice caps, everything that's 200 feet below sea level is going to become a blood sea. Terrible thought. This flood of the world's major cities and cause tremendous loss of life. So as this tide rises and floods cities, many people will die trapped there. B, the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. The sun was allowed to scorch people with fire, and allowed is your blank. It's fitting that the Holy Spirit reminds us that all these events are allowed by God. Did you catch that? The sun was allowed to scorch the people with fire. You see this? God lets these angels do these things, but he himself has not been doing them. Here again, we see God's limited delegated authority being opposed on mankind through the work of angels. He literally doesn't do these things. He has angels and demons and beasts that carry out his will. See on your outline, they refuse to repent and glorify him. They refuse to repent and glorify him. And refuse, repent, glorify are your three blanks. Incredibly, sinners will still refuse to repent. Instead, they blaspheme God. That's hard. Many know that he is the one who has caused their afflictions. Many of these people understand they come from God. So we looked at the fourth angel, the fifth angel. A, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne and the beasts. A in your outline. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And your two blanks are throne, beast. I read that this is the Antichrist's actual throne that they do this to. Regardless of where the darkness begins, it eventually covers the Antichrist's entire kingdom. So no matter where it starts, people argue over where this actually will take place. Irregardless, it's going to spread from there everywhere. B on your outline. People gnawed their tongues in agony. B, people gnawed their tongues in agony. And gnawed and agony are your two blanks. I occasionally will accidentally bite my tongue when I'm eating something. Oh, that hurt. But I don't ever remember being in such pain that I would chew on my tongue so I would be distracted from the other pain in my body. That doesn't sound good at all. I think this is a futile attempt to alleviate the pain from their sores and the drought and the fierce heat. When you think about that, there's a drought, everything's turned to blood, their body has boiling sores on it, and now the sun is baking them alive. See on the outline, they curse God of heaven. See, they curse the God of heaven, and cursed is your blank. The King James Version says, blaspheme the God of heaven. Blaspheme is the word they used. I read this as a sign of their commitment and loyalty to the Antichrist, and their anger at God who had, and the cumulative miseries brought about by his first bowls. So that's out of my new study Bible. But what they believe is that these people react this way because of their commitment to the Antichrist, their loyalty to him. But they also are ticked about all these things that have piled up, these miseries that are brought on by the first five bowls. God of heaven is a frequently used Old Testament title for God. So in the Old Testament, that's common. God of heaven, God of the angel armies, this Bible I'm reading. But it appears in the New Testament only here in Revelations 11:13. And I thought that was curious. It's multiple times in the Old Testament, but once in all the New Testament. There's a significance to this. D on your outline. They refuse to repent of what they had done. They refuse to repent of what they have done. Refused, repent are your two blanks. A hard heart is a terrible thing. A hard heart is terrible. We saw that in the Egyptians and their nation. We see it now in Revelation in the nation of the Antichrist. It's a terrible thing when you will not repent and glorify God. What about us? Please try your best to keep yours soft. Do you hear that? Keep a soft heart towards God and others. It's easy to get hard-hearted at some people around us, and it's easy to get ticked at God and become hard-hearted. But my encouragement is do everything you possibly can to keep your heart soft to God and his instructions in life. So stop and think this through. Just stop and think about this. The things that people were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah are the things we are teaching in some of our schools. Think that through. In Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed those cities because of their sexual impurities, their sexual deviancies. It had gotten so bad that God destroyed those cities. And today, in many of our schools, alternative lifestyles and sexual preferences are taught openly, and children are encouraged to evaluate if they are genuinely right the way they were created. And many are helped to understand that sexual deviancy and immorality is probably a better life for them than a moral, upright life. We teach that to kids. And that's why God blew up Sodom and Gomorrah. We should soften our hearts, but strengthen our resolve at helping others to repent of these sins. The scripture said they refused to repent of what they had done. Is this us? Is this us that we refuse to repent for the things that are going on? That we've refused to pray and ask for God's mercy and for these people to see the light and return to a godly, biblically moral life. Is this us? We looked at the fourth angel, our first point. Second point, we looked at the fifth angel. The sixth angel. A on your outline. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the river Euphrates. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the river Euphrates. And Euphrates is the blank I gave you. The Euphrates is called the Great River five times in Scripture. Here, and in 9:14, and in Genesis 15, and in Deuteronomy 1, and in Joshua 1:4. All of those refer to the Euphrates as the Great River. It flows 1,800 miles from the slopes of Mount Ararat to the Persian Gulf. In contrast, the Mississippi, near where we live, is 2,345 miles long. So the Great River is 1,800, and the Mississippi is almost 24, and they consider that a great river. Mississippi must be beyond a great river then. Today, the Euphrates starts in Turkey and flows southeast across Syria and then through Iraq. It forms the eastern boundary of the land God promised to Israel in Genesis 15:8, and then in Deuteronomy 1:7 and 11, and in Joshua 1:4. The flow of the Euphrates has already been reduced by the prolonged drought and the intensity of the sun's heat, and thick blood doesn't flow as good as water does. Then God will supernaturally dry it up and make way for the Eastern Confederacy to reach Palestine. So Eastern Confederacy, I like that idea, and I got it from Isaiah 11:15. It dried up, nothing could hold back the invading armies. The armies from the east symbolize unhindered judgment that God is bringing. B on your outline. It dried up to prepare a way for the kings from the east. It dried up to prepare a way for the kings from the east. And kings and east are your blanks. See, the Euphrates River was a natural protective boundary against the empires of East Babylon, Assyria, and Persia. In the days John was writing, that's the nations that would have come from there. So, our outline, fourth angel, fifth angel, sixth angel, and point four on your outline, the three impure spirits. A on your outline, the three impure spirits that look like frogs. The three impure spirits that look like frogs. The NIV Reader's Version uses the term unclean spirits. And that's a common New Testament term for demons. Jesus used it in Matthew 12:43 and also in Mark 1:23. So Jesus referred to these demons as unclean spirits. These spirits are demons performing miraculous signs. They come out of the mouth of the unholy Trinity to unite the rulers of the world for a battle against God. The imagery of demons coming out of the mouths of three evil rulers signifies the verbal enticements and propaganda that will draw many people to their evil cause. And I got that out of my study Bible. But when it says they come out of the mouths of these three guys, then the three frogs go to the kings of the east, it's clear, to me at least, that they're on a recruiting drive to get military might. B on your outline. They are demonic spirits that perform signs. They are demonic spirits that perform signs. And your two blanks are demonic spirits. These demons are especially vile, powerful, and deceitful. Here again, we can look back to Israel's leaving Egypt and the plagues of the frogs. So, one of the early plagues was frogs came up and damaged things. See on your outline, the kings gather for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The kings gather for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. I do not think most people have studied the book of Revelations. I don't think they have. But I think most people know Armageddon and 666. When you talk to people, two of the things they know of Revelations is the Battle of Armageddon and 666. I was looking through my collections of movies to watch the other night, and I have three different movies that are titled Armageddon. And they're all different scenarios of the end of the world as we know it. D on your outline. The kings gathered to the place in Hebrew, which is called Armageddon. So the kings gathered to a place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And your blank is the big word Armageddon to spell. We have looked into this bloodbath not long ago. Not long ago, we looked at how big the river of blood was and so forth. So we're not going to spend time re-looking at that today. So here's my conclusion. Christ will return unexpectedly, so we must be ready when he returns. We can prepare ourselves by standing firm against the temptation and by being committed to God's moral standards. In what ways does your life show you either are ready or you lack preparedness for Christ's return? What do you think? Sinful people will unite to fight against God in the final display of rebellion here at Armageddon. Many are already against Christ and his people, those of us who stand for truth, peace, justice, and morality. We already come under attack because of our biblical moral standards. Your personal battle with evil forces foreshadows the great battle pictured here. This is where God will meet and destroy it once and for all. This is the end of all those struggles and fights with temptation. Be strong and courageous as you battle against sin and evil. Be strong and courageous in dealing with these temptations. You're fighting on the winning side. Jesus said this, "I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed." So Jesus comes like a thief, and blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed. So Jesus is not saying the many. He's looking at each individual that stays alert, stays awake, don't fall asleep on your post, and they remain clothed in my righteousness. That's how we win. His life within, his righteousness without. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted that today you reveal what's going to take place in the future. And you are so kind to share with us, Lord, the things that they did. My earnest prayer is that we who listen to this message would be the one who would repent of these temptations in our life that we're coming into contact with, and the stress on the morality that you encourage us to have. I pray that we would be the one, and I pray that our nation would be the one that repents and turns from the evil path that it's on. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your name.
Amen.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Coming is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?